Where do our character defects come from? Do all of you admit that you got a little defect here and there? Have you noticed if we were a computer, we'd have a few chips burn out or sparking around and have to be replaced? Listen to this. Here's where our character defects come from. Number one, our chromosomes, our biological inheritance, our DNA. Now, have you ever, you heard, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, and all of this? That is the biological or the chromosomes or the DNA that we have. We have inherited a few chips that may not be up to date. And when we inherit those chips through our DNA, you and I will battle with those chips there. I can't believe I'm doing it that way, but with those chips throughout our whole life. And we will see that sometimes we're sparking and sometimes we're not. But it is a focus that we have to accept. Okay, I have certain DNA traits, biological traits within me that I have to deal with. Our problem is too often we don't want to deal with them. We do not want to look at those traits as might not be exactly what God is wanting us to be. Our whole life, once again, we are looking and ready to do inventory every step of the way of life. And in that inventory that we're taking, that inventory must be handed to God. Father, here, Lord, I know that through your grace and my faith in your son Jesus that I am saved, but I need some help with the chips till I get there. Now, that is a part of us you and I can't change. We cannot change those type of problems from our chromosomes, from our DNA. You cannot change that. But it's not the idea of changing. And I wanted to see, there, I've got that scripture over here. I'll be getting to it in a moment. But it's not the idea of can I change it? Can I deal with it? I can't change how I'm made. I cannot change who my mother or father was. I did not get to pick my mother or father. I had no choice to be born, but since I was born, I've had a choice. From the day I was born, God gave to me the freedom to choose. And then my whole life deals with that battle. Most of the choices through our younger years are just bad cases of the stupids. And then we think that we about got it licked through the years that, like I'm living through right now, you about got it licked. And then you look in the mirror, and so often you say, you're just about as dumb as you was when you was back here in the Marine Corps. There's not much difference at all. Now, I can do that because the mirror can't talk back. And the only thing I got to watch, what is Faye's listening. And when I hear that voice coming from the other room, I need to start saying the good things about how great I am and all that. Okay, number two is our circumstances, sociological, who we hang out with, who our friends are, and then our choices, theological. Let me do it that way, because everybody serves a God. Everybody serves a God. Now, people say, well, I serve the God Jehovah. Through the grace from his son, Jesus, I've accepted him as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, in serving God then, I know that I have the choice to serve him or to make something else a God. If you want to know the God that you're serving, if you want to know which God you serve, look in your own life and see what you think about more than anything else. What is on your mind more than anything else that your God? If your focus and your focus is on pleasing God the Father, Jehovah God, then he is your God. But think about it. I know many that their whole focus is on money, 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 money. That's your God. That's your God. Or pickup truck, pickup truck. That's your God. You can't do that. Whatever you spend more time thinking about, that you're God. Well, I just don't believe that, Brother Larry, because, you know, I think about a lot of things. Okay, but if I serve God, then aren't I free then from the bounds of those problems that I have in my life? Why would I not focus my thought on God? Lord, I'll talk to you again when I wake up. You know, I sort of encouraging God to let me wake up. You know, y'all talk. But knowing, then what? God's in control. I know the God that I serve. Doesn't mean that you and I don't fall prey to a lot of idol gods during our life as a Christian. Many Christians want to say that, no, I've never done that. What our great problem is and our transformation choices, until we accept the fact that we are human and we're going to falter and that we have flaws and we're going to get off the path and we're going to get in a ditch, until you admit that that can happen, it's going to continue to happen. When you admit that it can be wrong, when you know, okay, if I get around this type of a situation, I'm going to do something wrong. Well, what do? Don't get around that cigar. Don't get around whatever it is that could make you fall. Okay. Why does it take so long to get rid of our character defects? For one thing, because we've had them so long. You know, ain't nothing wrong with me. Something wrong with the rest of you. We've had them so long. Number two, because we confuse our defects with our identity. Okay. If I have a few chips missing, which I'm sure that I do, that are not sparking right. But the thing is, what I need to understand is I am defective because I'm a human being. Did not Christ come because of that we were unable to keep his law? Did not Christ come because we were unable to be able to deal with our sin by conquering sin ourselves? If we could do that, if we could have kept the law, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. But from the beginning of Scripture, we knew that Jesus was coming. The prophets knew Jesus was coming. And good gracious, Jesus gets here. And nobody recognized him that was preaching about him. All the foreigners had to come in and all of this to say, yeah, we know who you are, but not the religious leaders close by, because we confuse our defects with our identity. The flaws that I have in my life is not who I am. You remember this, and I'm sure it'll come up in a sermon again, but you remember this. God looks at me through the heart of his Son, not through me. I am identified as a child of God because God filters through his Son who I am. So when God looks at me, he sees his Son. Now, what do? We see our defects. Well, we see the defects in each other. And when we do that, we do not leave room for God to bless our life. Why? Well, we got this under control. Nothing wrong with me. Yes, there is. You messed up. Some messed up more than others. And you got to watch that being messed up. I do pick on Chelsea a lot, don't I? Number three, because every defect has a payoff. Why do I accept the defect? Because it makes me feel good. It has a payoff. It makes me, and then what do we end up with? Buyer's remorse. Y'all know what that is. When somebody wants something so bad, they buy it and then they wish they hadn't bought it. Buyer's remorse. So, if that I have a, I feel good today about something that I've done, the defect in me was doing it. But it felt good at the time, so I messed up. Any of you all messed up? No. Okay. Number four, because Satan, again, why does it take so long to get rid of our character defects? Because Satan discourages our efforts to change. Now, I don't think we need very much help from Satan in doing that. I really don't. As I say, and I've said it since the time God called me to preach, Satan could take a vacation for the rest of the time of humanity's existence and we'd sin without being tempted. We'd do it anyway. We would. Is your hand up? Okay.
So how can we tell the difference between what is a character defect and our personality? Because some things in our personalities other people would see as a defect.
Well, yeah, but what goes on with you, with any of us, it is not how other people see me. It is how I see myself in the eyes of God. And do I not see myself then? Again, this is very hard for us Christians to catch on to. When God looks at me, he sees me as already there. When I look at me, I see a mess that is really limping along the way. But God knows the end of the story, remember? He knows that I'm already there. And you and I battle that. We really do. Okay. Seven ways to change your focus. You ready for this? Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Is that not what the church of our generation is doing? Is that not exactly what is going on? Well, let's make everything to where that when people come to church, that we have everything for them and we can use the badge Christian on it. Well, wait a minute. If we allow the church to change, focus on what the world wants, you can put the Christian label on it all you want, but it ain't of God. Okay, well, this is how we need to get them in because this is how the world gets them in. What do you have to offer me in your church? Or what do you have to offer my children? How about offering you and your children an opportunity to serve God, to teach God's word, and to be there and listen to God's word? How about that? Well, what if my kids don't want to go? Well, then I'd say that's up to the parent. And when the parent is not in control of the child, God is not in control of the parent. Okay, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Catch that, Paula? Yes. Not somebody else transform. This is how I want you to act. Won't you tell me how to act? Because I have given my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. My orders come from God. I'd love it when Hunter was saying, because a lot of people worried about me on this, and Hunter's said, Papa works for God. I don't know what y'all worried about. You know, all the kids, I love them. Okay. Let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, everything God gives us is good, pleasing, and perfect. So what I have in my life that is not good, pleasing, and perfect didn't come from God. You know, but it's a feel good. I remember when Billy Graham was talking about when the sex age came in the 60s, and he said, I never could understand how that people would give up their whole life over a muscle spasm. And of course, in those days, I thought, I don't have any idea what he's talking about. But I caught on to it later on. You know, and I thought, well, Billy Graham said that. And now I see exactly. It is the feel-good feeling for the moment. But then, payday, someday. Number one, or if you want to change the way you live, you must change the way you think, right? And you do not change the way you think by another human being letting you know, now this is how you need to think. Well, this is what I tell you. You need to get away from that individual. An individual cannot tell you how to think. An individual does not know my shortcomings because I'm too good at hiding them. I've had a lifetime of doing it. Therefore, it is my relationship between me and God. and therefore God is working on me. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, it's going to take all my whole life. Well, aren't you ever going to get right here to this point? Yes, I will. The day they'd start digging a hole. I'm already gone, but you know that. Yes, we got to understand that these are the battles from within inside of us, and the battles are won by God. What you and I have trouble with, God's already won the battle. You and I are standing out there like idiots, still fighting it. And you got the angels looking at us, saying, "What is wrong with those human beings?" That's a paraphrase from the preacher. Got it? Don't you all be texting me out there or sending me an email letting me know that that ain't scripture. Okay, number one, focus on changing one defect at a time. Lord, if I do that, it'll take a lifetime. Exactly. And with a thought like that, that means it'd take two lifetimes. You're never going to get to it. Listen to Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. How many of you worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? People say, are you worried about your surgery? No, I'm worried about the pain afterward. I ain't worried about surgery. And they got to really give me the good stuff. Don't you always like it when I see them in there saying, "My doctor, you're gonna have to double it up because, you know, I don't." Anyway. Yeah. Proverbs 17:20, you know it's going to come back, don't you? An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Right? You like got that one? An intelligent person aims at wise action. Okay, focus on changing one defect at a time. Who do you focus on it with? God, folks. Your defects, the ones that are causing you problem, are more spiritual, meaning from the standpoint, well, it's a physical problem. When I was addicted to cigarettes, that's a physical problem. Well, how do I handle that physical problem? Well, you all hear me talk about how much I love to step in front of cigar smoke. I admit it. Well, have you handled it? Well, I don't smoke. But I tell you all the time, I confess my sin, and I smell that pipe tobacco, and you know, I said, I'll tell you about how dangerous smoking is for you just as soon as I get through enjoying it for just a little bit. And so what is that? That's me dealing with the defects one at a time. But what is God looking at with me then? If I don't conquer it, what is God looking at? Does he not look at my heart as to am I sincere in wanting to serve him? Is there not more power in the heart of one of God's children when God looks in and says, my desire, and he sees your heart's desire. I want to quit this. I want to start doing that. Don't we realize as Christians, that's the stamp of approval from God. And God says, you're my child. Doesn't mean, folks, that we're ever going to get it right. In this human body, we're never going to get it right. And God says, let me see the desire of your heart. That's why you can't, don't let somebody else do the judging on you or telling you, all you got to do, just quit doing that. And I would ask them, especially those that were on certain drugs, and the people who were telling them that, I said, have you ever been addicted to anything? Never let anything ever touch my lips. Then shut up, because you don't know what you're talking about or what it's going to take. I often wondered why they never invite me back. You know what I'm saying? Number two, focus on victory one day at a time. Oh, Lord, here's what I need you to tell me. What am I going to be doing Friday? And then you get a voice mail from God. Don't worry about it, Larry. You ain't going to be there. So we need to deal with the day, one day at a time. You know, I have never been as free in my life as that few years ago when God blessed me knowing that I never have to fear death. And that's all Satan had on me was the fear of dying. It doesn't. I mean, and when that's the way, well, shoot, I'm enjoying Like, gosh, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm a winner. People have asked me, are you going to retire? That's because they want to put their name into being Pastor Van Grove. I said, yes, I'm going to retire. And my retirement is out of this world. And I don't have to worry about anybody taking away from me either. Okay. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Now, you will see, and I think it's the old English, you said, tomorrow will take care of itself. I believe it's the way that that puts it. But I wanted you all to hear this in the NIV. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. When I turn my heart over to the Lord, I'll let the worry deal with the worry. I don't know how to say that. I will let whatever the worry is, I'm out of that section. So I'll let the worry about itself. God, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Any complaints on that one? Each day has trouble of its own. You think you had it bad today? Wait till tomorrow. Yeah, and that's the way you really cheer them up. Number three, focus on God's power and not your willpower. Oh, I can do anything if Willie shows up. The best thing that can ever happen to you if Willie gets caught in traffic and Willie doesn't show up. Because if Willie shows up, that means that you are not going to trust the Lord. You're going to trust in your willpower. Can I stand being tortured? If somebody starts torturing me, I don't guess I got any choice. I'm going to have to stand it, aren't I? Or pass out or go ahead and die and all of that. But I'm not going to be able to conquer it through willpower. I will conquer it through God power, meaning it's not my fight. You know, as I've told people since I was called to preach, and I've had enemies that have tried to stop me from preaching. And let me remind you all of something. The enemies, the human enemies that I've had trying to stop me from preaching for the years, I've always given them one statement. And I said, look, God called me to preach. If you can stop me, then that's just proof that God didn't call me. That's between you and God. I will preach and stand for God's word as long as God allows me to do it. But I don't worry about you. The hardest battle that I have, I forget sometime, and you will too. It's not the flesh and blood enemies, but it's Satan himself. When Satan says, I will stop you, but Satan forgot something. Just a few years back, God bless me to give me no fear of death. And that's all Satan had going for him. So what will I say? Satan, that's not up to me. If you can kill me, you got to go through God. And if God says it's okay, remember the argument with Job? If God says it's okay, then it's fine with me. And not only that, I can be tough like a Marine because I'm going to be knocked out. I ain't going to have to deal with it. I'll be drugged up big time. Okay. Listen to this one. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian, this is what I wanted to get to earlier. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? That was black. Okay. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Or a leopard take away his spots? Nor can you who are so used to doing evil now start being good. Okay. People say, well, he has changed. Let me change that concept for us. I am a sinner saved by grace. I cannot change the bad chips in me. I can't do that. The DNA and all, I've got them. I can't change that. And okay, what about the evil that is within you? Well, when I accepted Christ, I found that evil is still there. The battle is still raging with me between the new nature and the old nature. What then, what are we talking about when they say you have changed? And yet we read the scripture and it says, can you change your color? C- Can you change the spots? Can I, like a leper, can I change their spots? It's not the idea that I can change. It's the idea that I can become disciplined through the Spirit of Christ, that my spirit looks more to Christ and Him taking care of it than I still got the spots. I'm a leper. I still look the same. So the battle is not with me to change. The battle that is going on, Jesus already won, and He said, Larry, the leopard's going to have his spot. You're going to remain colorless, or you're going to have color in your skin. Can you change that? No, Lord, I can't. Nor can you change the evil that is in your heart. What you can do is allow me to come in and to control. Do we not still have the same evil desires before we were saved? And the only ones that we don't have, isn't it that we don't have because that we allowed Christ to teach us one day at a time to deal with it until finally it was pushed back? But one thing I don't want you to ever forget. Don't ever forget your weaknesses. Don't ever forget what can pull you down. For the day you think you got it conquered will be the day you'll fall again. And it will be the same Christ that will lift you up that day that lifted you up the first. I cannot change who I am, but I can change who I focus on. And so therefore, I am totally dependent on what Christ has done. I'm going to go over. I'll have to quit here. Let me do Philippians 4:13-14. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. All right. Again, if you get out of me, I can, and you get into what really changed, what really power that you have into Christ, then you've got a shot at it. Focus, number four, on the good things, not the bad. Isn't that just common sense for us? But what do people do? You could have 10 good things there, but when you got a great morsel of a gossip piece that is, you know, so horrible, all the 10 good things are going to have to be pushed back because we got to pull out the flaw of an individual. Be careful with that. In order to pull out a flaw of another, you'll be showing a big flaw of your own. Focus on the good things, not the bad. Philippians 4, second part of verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. And that's sort of a positive type of a look on life. I do not look, I could not be a chaplain in the prison system if I didn't see that there was hope that somewhere along the line that through the power of Christ, your daughter wouldn't be raped by this guy because he accepted Christ. Your child would not have been murdered by this guy because he accepted Christ. And God saw who he was going to kill. And God sends one of us to witness to that individual, and a life is saved. You don't see that here, but you will one day. You'll see the difference you made in somebody's life. And because of that difference, you'll get to talk to them in heaven. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Who's the truth? Yes, He is. And He's the only one who can set us free. Number five, focus on doing good, not feeling good. Oh, it feels so good. Well, big deal. The devil feels good every day. More people he can grab a hold of and pull down hell. He did feeling good. I got a lot of druggies I've dealt with. They feel good about every day until they don't have a needle in their arm. Payday, someday. Focus on doing good, not feeling good. Get out of this feeling concept of, well, I just don't feel saved today. That doesn't mean I'm not saved, people. If I go, you go out here and you say, well, I just don't feel like, am I not, according to God's word, to preach the gospel in season, out of season? Meaning, I don't have a choice but to preach the word of God even on threat of death, in season, out of season. Great to be among a bunch of Christians when you're preaching the gospel, but what about when you're standing strong for the word of God, knowing that everybody out there is your enemy. In season, out of season. If you do the right thing, your feelings will eventually catch up with you, right? If you wait until you feel like changing, you'll never change, right? It is always easier to act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into an action, right? Yeah. Number six, focus on people who help you, not hinder you. Quit going to people that you know, well, they're going to be a downer. Then don't go to them. Go to an upper. And for those of you who know me out there that listen from the jail, that, I'm not talking about that kind of upper. If 1 Corinthians 15, the second part of verse 33, bad company corrupts good character. Now, that's in the New International Version. Listen to 15:33, the second part, in three versions. Okay, New Century Version. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Well, you shouldn't have habits anyway. You ought to have discipline in your life. First, and in the Century English Version, bad friends will destroy you, right? I'm saved because of the best friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. Yeah. Get away from them. Especially if they're going into Jericho. All right. Well, okay, folks, you're going to have to come to Vine Grove Baptist and get in that study to know what that meant. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Or dulls that friend. Number seven. Focus on progress, not perfection. Oh, I'm striving to be perfect. Well, that's why you're not even making progress. You're striving in the wrong direction. Perfection is of Christ. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task within you is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. What's He saying? That's when you hit the top. When the Lord's coming in the clouds, start shouting. But you ain't there yet. You got a job to do down here. God will never give up on you. God will never give up on you.